Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's June 3rd, 2014. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com, a comprehensive website aimed at bringing the beer community together, who sponsored this show. We've got a great show tonight. We got Mike Edison and Patrick Martins, who've just written a great book called The Carnivore's Manifesto. And from Belgium, we have Dominique Friot of St. Fulian, which is a historical brewery that we're going to be drinking their beers all night. Alex Forbes from Artisanal, the importer. And so it's kind of like the meat and beer show. We're going to talk about beer and food pairings and some traditional pairings with Belgian beers. And also I know that Patrick from Heritage Foods USA also brought some different types of cured meat. So we'll be eating meat and drinking Belgian beer all night with St. Fulian. So here on the show, first I'm going to say hi to Mr. Mike Edison.
Hey, what's up, Jimmy?
You know, you're a host on the Heritage Radio Network as well.
Arts and Seizures every Sunday, 2 p.m.
You're also like an accomplished author, and I know you just wrote the book with Joey Bastianich, the restaurant guy.
Restaurant man, yep. And my encore was with Patrick.
So how did you guys get together? Patrick, I did read the book. You don't believe me.
I saw those random outlinings. They didn't coordinate with actual sentences. No, just kidding.
No, but you've been the guy that you started Slow Food USA, and an offshoot of that was Heritage Foods USA. So we know all about you. You helped found, and you founded Heritage Radio Network. But tell me how you guys started working together, because that's the real story, because Mike's been a writer forever, and you know, what was it about Patrick's story? Because I thought this was going to be a cookbook. It's not a cookbook.
They're in that recipe book. The last thing the world needs is another recipe book.
This is a serious statement.
It's a manifesto.
Well, we were dumpster diving and we bumped into each other.
When I kill, I eat my fill. I've been doing Patrick's radio show for a while. After I wrote my first book, I Have Fun Everywhere I Go, I guess it kind of resonated with Patrick and the guys here at Roberta's, especially the stuff about working at High Times, I think. And Patrick had invited me on his show, and he invited me again and again, I guess, every time he needed a host, you were sure for a host.
You were like my Joan Rivers.
Yeah, basically. I was your Robin Quivers.
Yes.
I kind of legitimized you by being the black woman.
Thank you so much.
Well, you guys are fun. We're going to try to work you in with our beer theme tonight, because, you know, one reason I had you on was I know you had some beer references in the book, Patrick. And one thing, you have this thing called tétoir. You're talking about these great things about American food and where we can go with it, including
tétoir is tête is the French word for head. And so I said that the tétoir was the terroir. You know what terroir is to the soil? Tétoir is to the mind. And soil can give certain agricultural products certain tastes or flavors, like grapes in Napa Valley or tomatoes in New Jersey. Tétoir, on the other hand, builds when one apprentice or creative person learns from a master, and a tradition and art is passed on from generation to generation. Sometimes so much of that happens that a certain city like Portland or Brooklyn, a borough, just becomes a locus for writers or street performers or, in Portland's case, brewers.
Well, what we always say is that there's no real terroir here in Brooklyn, but there is probably more talent per square foot than any other place in the world.
It's true. So true. And there's so many new breweries. One thing I love about your book, you talk a lot about craft beer. There's a section on American beer.
Well, I mean, basically, when I came to Slow Food, we had to form a U.S. board, and Garrett Oliver became one of the board members. He's the brewmaster of Brooklyn Brewery. He was one of the first and the first board that Slow Food ever had in this country, and he taught me a lot about beer and really educated us on the importance of beer, and taught Carlo Petrini, the founder of Slow Food, about beer culture in America. And what basically Carlo was lamenting is that the beer traditions of Italy, they were getting a little lazy and accepting a few versions of beer in their supermarkets. And then he saw in America this totally dynamic world of breweries exploding. And they were actually making better German and Italian-style beers here in America than they were there. And because, with rare exception, The place does not matter when where beer is made. You know, we figured terroir was the right word for it, and it gets passed on under big, shiny vats and microbreweries all around the country.
Well, talking about traditions, Alex Forbes, you're the importer for Sanfulian. Tell That's us a little right. bit about the history of that brewery, and I know you brought the owner of the brewery along with you.
Sure. Well, I'll just talk for a second about it and then let Dominique really dive in. But it's a 140-year-old, just celebrated their 140th year in business. They're a fourth-generation family-owned brewery. So about as traditional as it gets, and very Belgian, very proud of Belgian. Yeah, I mean, Dominique, do you want to expand a little bit about your family company?
Let's talk about what Belgian beer means. You know, what are the aspects of it that you're proud of, and what our listeners should say? Why we go back to Belgian beer? Because everyone wants to drink American craft beer now.
Well, Belgian beer are probably the more authentic ones. So, our brewery has been founded in 1873 by my great-great aunt, which was a woman, actually. Her name was Stephanie Fria. So we are the fourth generation, and now the fifth generation is now emerging. So, Belgian beer is very something that this world is known worldwide. So everybody heard about it, taste Belgian beers, and I say a lot have tried to copy us, but have not succeeded today, as far as I can see.
Now, terroir is, Belgium is one of the few regions in the world where the terroir does matter with the beer, right? There's a certain, like you open the windows, and there's a certain fermentation that happens live, not only under the cap.
Well, depending what what terroir means, you know, as far as we talk about saison, which is a farmhouse ale, which is keeps all the tradition of the terroir. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Terroir means means a land, means tradition, means what's coming from a country is not especially the process.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, Alex, about this beer. This is the Sanfulian.
This
saison.
Is the saison. Yeah, this is a farmhouse ale. This is it's an old style, and old style beer probably the most oldest one you can find in the Belgian ales, and the saison, all the small breweries in Belgium were also farms in the old days. So they farming in the summer, and they were brewing in the spring and in the fall. So this beer was just a thirst quenching. It was made by and for farmers. So it is not very complex. It's a very simple beer. It
blue
was
collar
not very
beer.
Too
blue collar.
Blue collar.
Yes.
I don't know what you mean by boot crowder.
Every
the working
man.
I could drink this in the shower. This would be a good shower beer for me.
That's your thing, right, Mike? I've been on with you before. You like to drink beer in the shower.
I'm
right?
excited. The weather's been good. I'm excited. We're going to post some big third quarter numbers for beer and shower numbers, Jimmy. I'm excited.
Well, you can take this can in your shower. Then.
Always cans, you know, for safety. I remember the first time I was in Belgium. The first time I had at a time when you had to actually go to Belgium to drink Belgian beer and ale. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember those days when all you could get here was, you know, Coors and Miller and Anheuser-Busch products, even the days before light beer became popular. That was all you had. And I remember getting there, and like the American rube I was, they were giving us this, you know, very strong Belgian beer, 8%, 9% alcohol, not really knowing what we were drinking. And boy, did I get shit-faced, like in a big hurry.
Alex, I bet you brought some...
That's what they do to the American kids who aren't ready for it.
I bet you brought some stronger beers, too.
I did. I brought a nice variety from the Sanfulian family.
But at the time, you couldn't get that in America. You couldn't get any of those stronger Duvel or anything at all. It just wasn't available here.
And in the meantime, all the while, they've been brewing this for generations, mm-hmm. you know, decades. Strong beer.
I had to learn how to drink that beer. Because I wasn't ready for it.
But they really pack a punch and make it a really soft... You know, palatable punch.
It creeps up on you. It's dangerous. I'd be better off drinking a bottle of Jim Beam because at least I knew what to expect.
Yeah, you can feel it.
Well, you know, strong beer is very recent, I should say, you know, because in the beginnings, beer were about 2 or 3, you know, alcohol, you know, and the ABV was very low. Just, I think, after the war, it starts to raise. So and now you can find beer with very high density. So but this is quite decent for us.
That's dangerous stuff. 50 chapters in the book, Carnivore's Manifesto. They're all short, and one is "To hell with local, eat the best." And we say, if we Amen. Feel like a Belgian beer, mm-hmm. why not? And it's funny, with wine and beer, everybody is importing from all over, beer and wine. And yet, with the local food movement in this country, everyone is like, it's got to be local, it's got to be local. And sometimes, as with wine and beer, either the land or the skill set of a people. I mean, Mike always says about the bagels.
Well, you want a bagel from New York City, we cook it here at sea level, we have the great water, and we have a terroir of bagels. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, how many hundreds of years of Jewish noshing that you just don't get in a
That's tetoir. Why people FedEx their bagels all tetoir. Over the country. They don't go to, you know... Portland for bagels, even though Portland does things, some things very
That's
well.
That's right. Local is geography, not gastronomy.
And what about Fox's You Bet syrup?
Can't be beat, right? If you're going to make a chocolate egg cream, yeah. you need the ingredients that are made right here in Brooklyn.
You'd be an ass to think you can make an egg cream without Fox's.
But Patrick, when, even going back to your slow food days, when we used to talk about locals better, so you say there's just, what, there's certain ingredients and certain products from certain parts of the world that are the best?
Well, I think that, you know, Belgium and Europe, they see France and Belgium, for instance, as like a mosaic, a collage, a tapestry, and each region specializes in its own thing. And I think here in America, we need that too. It's this local thing is kind of cannibalizing that. All of a sudden, if you're the best in the nation, we're slower to realize that and acknowledge that. Whereas in Europe, if you're the best in the country, I mean, they'll dedicate a national holiday to you. You'll be given the key of the city. People appreciate their food culture there. Here, we're, you know, still fighting the big boys.
Let's talk to Alex. Alex, so you know.
Si, senor.
You're representing Belgian beers in America.
Right.
So, you know, the trend has been American craft beer. And when I started, I only drank Belgian beers and some German beers.
Yeah.
So where do you think it's going? And what do you have that you're trying to turn people on to Belgian beers again?
Well, I mean, with Saint Fouillon, some of our other Belgians, it's always been there, so it's a classic, and they've been doing it for a long time. It might be brand new to a lot of people, even people that used to drink it 8-9 years ago when there wasn't a whole lot of local craft. People would go towards Belgium, Germany, England for fancier beers. So it's always been around. So it's a reminder, and it's a tradition. It's got great history. That's always fun.
At least 20 or 10 generations on any, many, many more than sure. any American brewery. I mean,
yeah,
for
yeah.
sure. Because that was built off of probably decades and centuries of knowledge before they even opened.
It still can't be recreated with all this craft beer boom in the U.S. You know, what are we? Almost 3,000 breweries now. There's still. Not making beer the way they are in Belgium. And they're very experimental. They're doing all kinds of stuff, but it's still these traditional old school breweries are still doing something unique. Mm-hmm. And
I say it's the same to my wife, Anne, who sells only domestic cheeses. I'm like, God, sometimes I taste a French one and oh, brother, like it's just complex. It's yeah. not a one-shot wonder.
And we do great cheeses in New York State. You know, we do great cheeses here, but if you want a Manchego, where are you going to go?
Yeah. It's the same with the cheese world. And a lot of these places are selling the same stuff, fancy beer from all over the world with cheese and charcuterie, mm-hmm. and they all say the same thing. People want to support the local stuff, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. We're all for that, but you know, if you want a really, truly diverse selection and you want to represent the styles the right way, mm-hmm. and that's important for someone getting into a style the first time. You don't want them to try a kind of improper or incorrect version.
Ersatz, to use my favorite word.
Okay, that's very gentle.
Oh, yeah. I promised Jimmy I'd be gentle today.
There's a lot of intellectuals in this room.
I don't know what that word means in the book, and I've read it 700 times.
So tradition. So this, right. this is what? Yeah. This is the Saint Fouillon triple.
Yeah, talk about tradition. Exquisite. Yeah, this is the Saint Fouillon flagship beer. It's just beautiful. This is textbook triple. This is exactly how it should be.
What does that
it's
mean?
Perfect.
How is it supposed to be? What makes
this
it
color,
a good triple?
This texture, this... right amount of spicing, this alcohol level.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about pairing meats and Belgian beers too. So what did you guys bring? You brought something from Heritage Foods USA.
Well, we're very fortunate to have an American who is 94 years. His family has been curing hams in Virginia. using the American style, which is smoking. In Italy, they do not smoke it. So this is hangs 3 days in a fiery, smoky room in the middle of the summer. And he had been using commodity pigs and noticed that he could not age the hams for 400 days like his father had and his grandfather had. And it was because the commodity pigs just weren't built for that. They grew too fast and the internal part of the ham would turn to dust and start to disintegrate. So when he came across us, who was able to provide him still a very modest number, but still something significant, he steered his business more sustainably to raise 100% pasture-raised, antibiotic Berkshire pigs. So Sam is our biggest customer, and we love him to death, but the best news about him 100% is that these hams are delicious. So
let's taste it, yeah.
It's prosciutto-style ham.
So throughout the show, we're gonna have Patrick talk about some meats, and Dominique will say which beers will go with it. Do you think this is good with the triple?
Yeah, I think, well, you know what? With cured meat, I would say saison, which for me, it's the best. Sorry.
Patrick just handed it out.
This isn't Belgium.
Mike, you're the play-by-play guy. He's handing out these huge slices of
Mike is about to rub it on his body. Don't be worried about it.
And
your
I'm
hands.
Chewing right now.
But, so, right. Well, okay. We'll try after. But I think, yeah, for me, with the cured meat, salad, saison for me is the best because you have the salt, yeah. You know, in that ham. And the beer will be a little bit astringent and mm-hmm. It's going to pair. Wow.
We're throwing meat around here.
You should see right. What's happening.
I think I could drink the saison with pretty much anything.
Yeah, no, that saison can go anywhere.
I mean, for me, I love the triple, but that's not what I would. For food, it's a little overpowering.
I like the triple with it, too. Yeah,
me too.
Well,
yeah.
The triple will pair very nicely with, you know, with a creamy dish, mm-hmm. Something more heavier, I would say, or kind of, you know, cheese. Well, it could pair also with cured meat, but saison is really the kind of beer you should drink with the...
I love it. I love the saison, and I like the triple. Hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Just had your first sip of an IPA, greatbrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. Greatbrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, greatbrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit greatbrewers.com today.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. You can become a member. Go to heritageradionetwork.org. There's different membership levels. It's a great thing. You get to be part of this great community. And we're here with the founder today, Patrick Martins.
You get a free tote bag at your $120 membership.
That's right. What else do you get for joining Heritage Radio Network?
You want to show up to the farmer's market looking legit? Become a member. Get a free tote bag.
So we got Patrick Martins and Mike Edison, who wrote the Carnivore's Manifesto, and Dominique, the owner of St. Fulian, and Alex Forbes from the importer who deals with them. But right now, we actually just tasted some awesome Heritage Foods USA Suriano ham.
S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. He's the producer.
Thank you. And we were deciding whether it was better with the Sanfulian, Saison, or the Triple, and they're all good. But this brings us to one of the points of the show. We're trying to talk about meat and beer and pairing foods, especially with Belgian beers. So, Patrick, you had an interesting chapter in your book. It was about a Rabelaisian feast and what you would eat if you were this giant in this
Gargantua. What Gargantua. A guy. That's who I would have wished I could have partied with, Gargantua.
This is where we bonded.
Why don't you tell us a couple of the foods that you suggested the Gargantua would eat?
Well, no, I'll talk about the foods, but yeah. Mike is the king of finding quotes, and if anyone has a great book to write, use Mike as a co-writer, because he will embellish and beautify everything. He came up with 5 or 6 fantastic historical quotes about feasting.
Well, I said, even the most Dickensian of us, which would be Charles Dickens, like the way I call Charles Dickens, yes. Dickensian, says that vices are sometimes only virtues carried to excess. I mean, the idea is that we need to remember to feast. There's so much talk about moderation and people watching calories and avoiding all sorts of food, lactose and gluten, and God knows what. And we want to celebrate exactly the opposite.
What did Mae West purloin?
Mae West, she later copped by the king of conspicuous consumption, Liberace said, too much of a good thing is wonderful.
All right.
And there's some more. You got even more quotes. Keep reading.
It does go on.
You're going to buy the book. You're going to get Carnivore's Manifesto.
What did William Blake say?
What did he say?
The palace of wisdom, paved, the road is paved with excess.
Okay, but this is what I want. So Patrick's vision, you guys can go back and forth. What Gargantua would have eaten, you know, your feast. Give us some of the food examples, and Dominic will say which beer she would pair with it, okay?
And I've actually seen Patrick do this. I mean, how many pounds of carne crudo did your mom make at your birthday party?
Yeah, well...
I mean, really, like, you're talking about these huge amounts of food inspired by Rabelais. So we need you, Dominic. Get on there.
What did Oscar Wilde say? Moderation is a fatal thing. Nothing succeeds like excess.
Okay. Nice. So give us some of the foods. There's some crazy foods there. Well, I want to eat them all.
I mean, Jimmy, please tell me you understand this. Where there is no extravagance, there is no love. And where there is no love, there is no understanding. All right, now I'm ready. Let's go. But before, no. Let's see.
I'm getting hungry.
Carne cruda. The Piedmontese steak tartare, but they don't make it with an egg. They just make it with olive oil, so it's much lighter.
So you can eat 400 pounds of it.
You basically can eat it.
So that's what I'm going to tell you, an anecdote. You know how we call steak tartare in Belgium? Filet américain, which means...
And I'm not sure. I think we've just been insulted.
No, no.
Sacre bleu.
Jacuzze.
So what? This is really a Belgian thing, you know. And when you talk about French fries, isn't it silly? It's Belgian fries.
Freedom fries.
But what beer would you pair with filet américain?
I would pair something light like a, of course, Saison. And maybe a Blanche beer would be great with the filet américain. Or... something much lighter, like a lager beer, would be better.
So in Belgium, and there's a tradition of having food with beer.
It is, and actually we come back to that tradition again because, you know, maybe the 2 decades ago people were going, you know, to the wine much easier than to the beer. So, you know, the grass is always greener on the side than when you are. So. Yeah.
Patrick, another dish from your Rabelaisian feast.
Should I save my toughest question for the end? Let me start off with an easier one. Peking...
The Peking duck. Not to be confused with Peking duck.
It is a pancake, an Asian pancake with duck in it and scallions and a sweet duck sauce. And it's rolled into a duck-filled doobie and you eat it and it's exquisite. But it's very sweet meat.
Okay, well, for that, I will go over to a brown beer, like Saint-Feuillant Brune Reserve.
Yes, thank you.
Do we have any of that? I want to know what's in that bottle.
The big one?
Yeah. Yes, Jimmy, the big one.
Well, the brown one. It's funny because, Patrick, you recommended the Peking duck with a North Coast Brewing dark beer as well, right?
I wish we had met before I wrote North Coast Brewing. No, I'm a big fan of them, but North Coast Brewing Company, which... they are known for their dark ales, I believe, and she said a brownish one. So, yeah, very true.
I just think it's wonderful we live in a world with so many beer possibilities.
Oh, yeah.
So my toughest question now, this is the final one, from the feast, Now, I say Caesar salad because with extra anchovies, what do you send the anchovies way?
You just hit the daily double. That's Dominique's favorite food. That's her favorite dish.
Oh, my God. I will bring you the best anchovies. I will give you a glass jar of anchovies before you leave.
She's a Caesar salad som.
Oh. Without anchovies.
Yeah, Caesar salad anchovies is just not a Caesar salad.
Really? So, you wanted to know the best...
Pour l'anchois.
Pour l'anchois. L'anchois.
Oh, Tish.
Ça se dit comme ça, je pense, Mike. N'est-ce pas?
Like, every time you speak French, I feel like Gomez Adams, and I just want to start chewing on your arm.
It's not the only time you do that.
So, the best beer to drink with that is the Saint-Fillon Blonde. Yeah.
Great answer.
Definitive, yeah. All right. Let's end the show right here.
Have you done that before? Have you done the pairing yourself?
I did. Yeah? I did.
Patrick, I mean, Alex, you've done a lot of beer and food pairings, too. We've done bacon and Belgians at Jimmy's number 43.
Yes, we have.
We're going to a dinner there tonight. We've got some foods from Heritage Heritage Foods USA.
Nice, nice.
And, yeah. Well, cheers to this, man. This is fun. Yeah, we're here. Cheers. I think we need more food and more beer.
We have that.
We're trying to incorporate a book review with a visiting owner of a Belgian brewery, and we're getting somewhere. We're creating some bonds. Patrick, so do you speak Belgian or just French?
Well, when I lived in Italy, Belgian is a very different language, and I lived in Piemonte, where they speak Piemontese, which is part French and part Italian, mountain Italian. And I could not understand 1% of what they were saying.
Dude, even the English you speak is some kind of fucked up patois.
What?
Yeah.
That was well said. Stop dropping the F-bomb. So you know how many F-bombs we had to edit out of
but
the book?
But what is Belgium? Is it France meets what?
No, it's French and Flemish. You know, there we do have a border. And, you know, north they speak Flemish, and which is Dutch and
but
the southern
Flemish
part we call in the southern part we speak French. So
one reason these guys, I got to back off. These carnivores, I want to call you carnivores dilemma. I know that's in the back of my mind.
Do you want to know what the Jewish dilemma is? I'm a Jew. I can give this joke. What is the Jewish dilemma? I ask Jack if anyone calls in with the answer. What is the Jewish dilemma? Free ham.
That's something you can say, Patrick. Okay. But I would like more free ham if you don't mind giving it to
yes,
me. It's pretty good.
I'm still wondering what's in that big bottle.
Yeah, let's crack another one. Come on, Alex.
Yeah, all right.
I would say, Alex, first, tell us a little bit what you do, because you're representing some great Belgian breweries.
Sure. Yeah, we are artisanal imports.
But tell me, how did you first start working in
and
this?
And where are you based?
Let him tell his story.
Oh, happy holidays.
Because he's a pretty cool guy. Like you've been.
It's like we just won the World Series.
We've hung out in Cooperstown at the Belgian Comes to Cooperstown event at Ulm
Gang. My favorite beer event of the year.
But how did you get involved in beer?
A Belgian baseball fan. I love it.
I moved to New York City 6 years ago without any specific skills. For the band that I play in. And our drummer got a job at a distributor, I believe from Craigslist. And about 2 months later, he got me the job.
This is the American dream.
I love what I do.
It does. But then the big job is he got a job as the importer.
Yes.
The importer rep is really where you want to go.
Then,
so like the guys, the sales guys, and they hopefully get bumped up to either working for a brewery or an importer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
it's tough. It's tough work selling beer. Yeah. Very tough.
You gotta huff the streets for basically below minimum wage, and then get to know beer, learn. That's like college, and then grad school. Hopefully, you can hook up with like a supplier, either a local brewery or an importer or something like that.
And of course, Jimmy's show is the acme.
And you meet people like Jimmy, and he's like, "Hey, man, check out how this smooths out."
Talking about
food.
The workers and the farmers and stuff, we love to talk to the reps who are actually out there doing all the work. And you accumulate a lot of knowledge. I mean, I know you can come to a restaurant or a bar and give quite a presentation and entertain people, and it really improves the evening for a lot of people. It's a great way to represent your brands. So tonight, let's tell us what you're going to do to talk through, because I want to say you're the worker, this is what you do. Talk through what you're going to do at the dinner tonight.
So at the dinner tonight, I am the world's biggest cheerleader for Saint-Fillon. I go around. It's a nice kind of cozy, crowded atmosphere, a lot of energetic, eager drinking people, and they come there knowing that they're going to have some good stuff, food and beer. So they're excited as hell. They want to hear all the details about the beer, history of the brewery, maybe little nuances on flavors and aromas, little ideas why I think it goes well with the beer or with the food, why they think it's going well. Sometimes we you know, go back and forth, have a little discussion, arguments, high fives, hugs, tears.
Fisticuffs.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, oh yeah. But basically just going around and cheering it up, being super positive, energetic, try and stay happy, try and stay, like, always.
No, you're a consummate
upbeat
professional, and we would say, let's book Alex because we know he's going to make the night better. And that's the kind of person you want representing your brand. So, one last thing.
What was wrong? Like, what do people argue about? And what beers go terrible with things? I mean,
I think there is no wrong answer.
Okay.
My theory is there's nothing that straight up doesn't work. There's things that work better than others, pairing-wise. So
with beers.
And a lot of these beer aficionados are very specific, very particular, almost anal. And you can discuss. A style is a big thing.
There's one actually.
This is not the best.
There's
in
one
that
Alex
style.
That I'll tell you.
I only drink lager in the shower.
Forget your lager. When you have sometimes a spicy dish, and sometimes a great Belgian tradition, sour beers and Flemish sours actually really balance out a spicy dish.
Who does Flemish sours?
And the spicy dish balances out.
It's quite a few. Rodenbach.
Sour.
I mean, there's a bunch of sour beers that we get.
Sure.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So
Patrick, I have a question for you.
Okay, but I want you to plug your book.
I will.
All right.
Don't worry. No, just kidding. Jack's staying here till midnight to help plug the book. No, just kidding. But what responsibility do you have? Are you the matriarch of the brand? And does your whole
matriarch? That's a beautiful word.
the whole family get their income from this beer? And has it been? Are you like the Kennedys of this beer?
Oh yes.
Or the Rothschild,
the Camelot of beer,
Le Medici.
Don't go that far. No, well, you know, we are family, and my brother and I are completely involved in that brewery. This is our main business. It's not the decor. It's just really we're working very, very hard. We just make a big investment last year. We built a new brew house, and we are very proud of it because you know
how many people work for you?
Well, just 25.
25.
It's a small company, but you know we brew in those original equipment since that will be in 1873 till last year. And last year we jumped from the prehistory to high tech, so it was a big jump for us.
So what's high tech for you guys?
Well,
refrigerators.
Come on, don't be...
Gravity.
Well, the reason I ask...
High-speed internet.
The one thing, this is one thing that we know. I know you do a special collab for our beer listeners. You do a special collaboration with Green Flash
in
San Diego. And I know that when they go to Belgium, they say that you have these special secrets and things. And I know Belgian breweries have secrets. When you go to California, everybody's sharing and doing new things.
Well, that's probably her mentality, which is probably different from yours. So, but that was the collaboration with Green Flash was a fantastic story, because when we met the people from Green Flash, they want to brew a beer with us, make a beer with us, and I was a little bit say, well, that didn't happen often in Belgium, and so I'm at the brewer of Green Flash, and I say, okay, well, that guy could get along very well with my brewer, and they came and we made that Bière de l'Amitié,
I love this beer.
How often do Belgians drink beer? I mean, do most Belgians
every
day? It's like wine.
Every day, yeah. Yeah, okay. It's an everyday beer, you know. But when they do have a special mead, they will drink wine. Or a special occasion, it will be champagne and wine. So beer is more a standard drink, like milk or whatever.
You could have it for lunch. You go to a nice
milk. Oh,
you go to
God.
A cafe, right, and drink some. Beer's better than milk for you, too.
Excuse me? Yes.
Beer's better than milk.
I think so. And it's better than soda. It's better than soft drink. It's better than,
Gargantua's mother, supposedly her breasts created beer. That's what it was. That's what came out in Belgium. That's the way the Belgians told the story.
That's why I love your book, man.
Yeah?
Carnivores
make up all the rules.
Blessed are the beer makers, for they shall inherit the earth.
They shall.
Mike, one more quote from the book.
or any quote. Well, I have to say, Mike picked a quote for every chapter. So these are 3-page chapters.
I really liked
50
it.
50 of them. And
the quotes
Mike,
are like
an
2 pages, and the chapters are like 1 page. I love it.
Well, the quotes aren't that big.
Yeah, it's slightly more than a brochure.
Abraham Lincoln's was.
Whatever. I turned right to Benjamin Franklin. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest.
It's awesome.
And that's what this book's really about.
Well, that has to do with that. That was the quote for the Museum of Food and Drink chapter, which is a co-host of ours. Dave Arnold is trying to start the Museum of Food and Drink here in America. And we always joke about it, him and I, because if you were in 1600 when your family started the brewery and you said, what's the food museum? What animal museums are going to exist? For wild animals or for food? What's going to be the future? And the answer to that is that it's been 100% wild animals, natural history museums. Every major city in the world has a natural history museum, but not one anywhere in any city has a food museum.
Awesome. I'll tell you what, we have so much more to talk about. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and also talk about St. Fulian's collaborations with Green Flash and some wild food ideas from Patrick and Mike on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
All the music we've been listening to today is by a band called Iggy Dean. This is Beer Sessions Radio on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We have some great guests tonight. They won't stop talking. The crazy guys, Mike Edison, Patrick Martins. They want to do
National
Farmers Day and all the stuff. And
celebrating beer, the universal solvent.
I love them. Their book's out, Carnivore's Manifesto. I want to call it the Carnivore's Dilemma. I know you guys got that Michael Pollan thing in your head, but no, it's not that book.
I wanted to call it the Carnifesto.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's the best.
We got Belgian beer here. We got this American craft traditions. We got Belgian beer and St. Fulian's here. So you guys started doing collaborations with Green Flash in San Diego.
Yeah.
So tell us how that happened, and let's talk about a couple of the beers that you brought.
Okay, so it started in 2010. So they came to Belgium. Mike Hinckley and his brewer and Chuck Silva. And it was wonderful. They came one day, and it was in March. I was back from Japan, and it was 9 March 2010, and they started to brew in the old brew house, and It was kind of magical for them because it was a dream. I remember Chuck Silva saying, "Wow, it's a dream for me to brew here in Belgium." And they pay, and those two brewers were so connected, were so on the same page. That was, it generated a beer like Bière de l'Amitié, which was really a friendship brew, and which is a blonde ale, strong blonde ales. And the thing is also that we mix different, ingredients from United States, different, American hops, Belgian hops, and that was fantastic, and we have that wonderful beer, which is also we had some spices, different,
So, people in Belgium came to America to get hops? That, I find that very surprising.
No, the wine thing, that happened with the wine, too. They had that fornifera, well, that terrible
it's
disease.
It's a collaboration, mm-hmm. so we wanted to do it, right?
Terroir.
So, and, mm-hmm. And
oh, American hops is fantastic. But you have such a strong tradition that I'd be wondering if the Belgian people would even accept American hops, given your tradition, and also the historical, you know, the way people make American beer. Well, you know the joke. It's like
you guess what,
you know,
though?
It's like having sex in a canoe.
We're open.
But Belgium always had hops.
Yeah, we do have
Belgium
hops.
Belgium had hops in their beers long before America.
We do have hops, but we don't use only Belgian hops. Mm-hmm. Actually, we can use hops from Slovenia, Czechia, and so that's the way it is right now.
Alex, so when you guys rolled out the collaboration with Green Flash, tell us what that was like. I mean, you've made three different collaborations since then, right?
Two at Symphonienne, one at the Green Flash Brewery. So yeah. I've been able to sell the two of them, the Bière de l'Amitié and this Belgian Coast. It's cool as heck because it gives Symphonienne a new audience. You know, attaching a classy, kind of hip brewery like Green Flash to Symphonienne's name just opens up a lot of people's eyes. A lot of new customers all of a sudden know what Symphonienne is. And collaborations are pretty hip. They're pretty cool right now. So that kind of gets them on the current map.
And in Europe, everyone collaborates. In the U.S., we're slow to invest in communal enterprises because everyone figures they're going to get screwed. But in reality, the truth is that all boats rise with the high tide.
Well, just like this radio station, it really showcases what you can do when people work together. But let's tap into the authentic traditions here. One more thing. Think of a few other special, you know, foods that you would pair with Belgian beers.
And I have a question when she's done asking this one about the brewery. You go first.
This is a fun show, isn't it?
Okay. No,
we're partying. We're doing some. What are those
I'm
things called?
Right
the
now.
Spiffies? What are those things that you guys do? On your show, Mike, you smoke spiffies?
We haven't talked about fish.
Oh,
sorry,
that's
guys,
true. Yeah, that's not the right topic.
But you know, beer and beer cook fish and beer. It's wonderful as well. You know, it's another.
Well, give us one of those. Actually, you're talking about actually cooking the fish.
No, let's do salmon and then whatever the comma tuna. Salmon and tuna. Do they get the same beers?
Raw or cook?
Tartar American. The tartare salmon, raw salmon, like on a bagel.
It's like the cured meat.
It is
the cured meat.
I see.
But a cooked fish, that will go on a blanche, definitely.
Okay.
A blanche beer.
Absolutely. Blonde beer and fish is fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, a friend of
ours. Or, I would say something else. I didn't think about it. Grand Cru, which is our, you know, it's our latest creation. It's
Grand Cru, that's the highest.
Grand Cru.
So that's the great harvest,
that's
right?
The cherry on a cake.
Yep, exactly. Okay.
What is it? A quadruple?
Cherry on a sundae, really.
It's a blonde beer, very, you know, it's a strong blonde ale, very bright, very, we use only hops in that beer, not spices. It's very, very elegant, very sophisticated. When you pour that beer in the glass where you see lacy effect, we use a champagne yeast for that beer as well. So it's very, and the most noble hops, I would say. So it's fantastic with the fish.
Alex, let's have one more beer. Do you have anything left?
I have we talked about the Belgian Coast IPA.
We haven't.
Talked about it.
We haven't.
That's right. We've been drinking a little bit, so that's...
Let's have some more of that, and you tell us about that.
Oh, man. This is a true, true collaboration. You can
taste... I have to pour my own beer on the show.
Southern California, you can taste...
Where's my beer sommelier today? Come on.
Si, senor.
Wow, Jimmy, I didn't know you were such a diva.
I know.
I am a diva.
One of your three drivers is getting drunk at the bar, by the way.
There was something I want to say about that.
Because I want to taste California and Belgium at the same time.
Yeah. There's a lot of hop. It's a hop-forward beer, but
hop-forward.
I've never had an IPA with this texture, with this much carbonation before.
I'll tell you going into this, I'm a little cynical because I feel like I've been IPA'd to death over the last 10 years.
This is a breath of fresh air in the IPA world, for sure.
Okay, well, here goes.
Yeah, this eat and drink.
I didn't even get any.
It's food and drink in that beer.
So oh, man, this is good. No, this is nice. It's got some nuance to it. It's not. It's very hopsy, but it's not bothering me over
there. You know that talking about
history. More than just hops.
Before 1979, you could actually drink beer outside in New York City. Did you
really?
Know
what happened?
I don't know. There's a story. I'm going to tell you about another episode.
Is it a personal one?
Have to pay $20.
It was Smirkosh.
And cops are famous for letting you finish your beer while they write you a ticket.
Oh,
I've heard dozens of stories, myself included.
well, technically, the tradition of drinking beer in a paper bag is because you can't be searched. And that's why we put it in a paper bag. Because asking what's in the bag constitutes a search.
You know, I would say this Saison right here would be a good one for drinking on the street because it doesn't exactly look like beer.
No,
and how sophisticated are cops with their import beer? You know, do they know that this is a beer? No.
Saison.
New York's finest aren't hip to the craft beer movement?
No, everybody.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, cops. Come on over.
But one last quote from your book.
Well, I have one question.
What?
I mean, this cuts to the heart of the Belgian people. You are an established brand. People know you, especially in your local community. So do they cheer you on and say, oh my God, every beer is better than the other? Or Belgians very critical about the beer? And do they come to you in the street and say, I noticed in the last batch? I mean, what kind of energy goes on?
That's a great question, Pat. Yeah.
No, Belgium is not too critical about their beers. Mm-hmm. No, this is... and actually, the Belgium are not too proud about their beers. We you know, with the Belgian Brewers Federation, recently we made a TV commercial about the Belgian beers because we want the Belgian people back to their terroir. And we film here in Maine an American who's selling Belgian beer, a Chinese lady in Shanghai, you know, and another lady in France, and because to bring back the Belgian to their product, so
beautiful.
This is a little bit different.
Hey, can we a toast to your old co-host, who we should always remember?
Our good friend
more?
Ray Dieter, yes,
Ray
thank
Dieter,
you. Thank
always.
You.
Patrick. We always remember him at every show, right?
We miss him from
Cheers.
DBA.
That's
so
how
much.
Long I've had been on.
The last thing I want to give you guys a shout out for your book because it really did a great thing. I've known you for years, Patrick. And you have so much vision and passion. But the quote I really loved the most was the Abraham Lincoln quote. And I hope you guys could read that on there.
Listen,
Abraham Lincoln. The Abraham Lincoln quote
is
90%
you grew up in a log
book.
Cabin.
The best thing if you look up
you
Lincoln.
Were our 16th
if you look up Abraham Lincoln in the index, it comes right after Liberace.
So when are you guys doing the traveling vaudeville shtick with the book?
We're
going
all over.
But,
and the executive director of your radio station is coming to promote the radio.
We're taking it on the road. There'll be a party.
Guys, the Abraham Lincoln quote, please. Come on.
I thought I'd choose the Lewis Carroll quote, actually, because it best describes what writing a book with you is like.
Oh, bro.
Okay, Mikey, do the Lewis Carroll quote. Actually,
my dear,
a great one.
Here we must run as fast as we can just to stay in place. And if you wish to go anywhere, you must run twice as fast as that.
And then also in the appendix at the end, you also recommended books that people should read. And then, Mike, go to that and say what you guys
said
about...
Don't make me think that that makes me think. Don't you think that I think
like
that
it.
You got to the end of the book.
I did.
That was pretty good. You almost had me there, Jimmy.
I did read the book. Uh-huh. I even put notes in it.
You read the appendix? Uh-huh.
Okay. So let's. I want the Abraham Lincoln quote.
There are pictures of this guy.
I will read it. All right, Mike. God, you're the voiceover guy. What a pain in the butt. This is my life for those years that we sat in the same room.
Are you guys still friends after writing
the
book?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, we're here together.
I think you're more than friends now.
Well, he was talking about eating my arm earlier.
Oh,
share the shit. This is the chapter, Share the Shit,
if you keep
which is
French.
About not overtaxing any ecosystem. The ambition for broad acres leads to poor farming, even with men of energy. I scarcely ever knew a mammoth farm to sustain itself, much less to return a profit upon the outlay. I have more than once known a man to spend a respectable fortune upon one, fail and leave it, and then some man of more modest aims get a small fraction of the ground and make a good living upon it. Mammoth farms are like tools or weapons which are too heavy to be handled. Ere long, they are thrown aside at a great loss. Abraham Lincoln.
Thank you.
Awesome. I'm getting an Aaliyah next time I go to the synagogue.
But guys, we're going to slow down. I would say that that was a brilliant quote, and I want you to know the gravitas of this book, The Carnivore's Manifesto by Patrick Martins with Mike Edison. We don't always review food books, but I did read it, and I really, that message in particular, reading what Abraham Lincoln said about large farms versus small businesses. You know, you're rooting for the small farmer, you're rooting for the small businessman, you're rooting for the small artisanal producer. Patrick did a great job with that book, and thank you. And that's why we've also tried to showcase you tonight with our great traditional Belgian beer company. So one last introduction, talking about small beer, small companies. Chris Barker works for New Amsterdam Market. Chris, and you lived in Belgium. Let's just say hello in a few words in French. Or Flemish, and
I just moved back to New York from 3 years in Belgium, in Brussels, and I just took on a role of community engagement coordinator for the New Amsterdam Market.
And what's coming up next? The night market. Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, we have the regular monthly market on June 21st, which is a Saturday, and then we have a special fundraiser night market on June 26th, which is a Thursday. It's focused on fisheries and seafood, so there's a lot of oysters, crabs, fish, and beer table will be there with some special beers, so there should be some.
And Chris, you are a special in-studio guest. Thanks for coming on.
And there are going to be day scallops, I read in the weekly email. Everyone should be signing up to the New Amsterdam weekly or monthly email.
Well, already this past Saturday, we had day scallops from Maine fresh, and they were really delicious, and they'll come back, and they'll be at the night market as well, so I highly recommend coming and trying those scallops.
Well, thank you, everybody. And tonight, if you're listening live, come over to Jimmy's number 43 at 7 o'clock. St. Fulian will be there. Alex, Dominique, there's a Bacon and Belgians dinner with our guest chef, Annette Tome, who worked at ICC and French Culinary Institute for many years, doing a very special menu with some heritage foods, meats. All right, it's a great show. Thanks, everybody. I'd like to thank our sponsors again, greatbrewers.com, who've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to Patrick, Mike, Dominique, and Alex for joining me here, and Chris on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Yeah. Woo.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.